It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line. With a death wish, be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, with destiny.
So we'll get to the World Cup teams comps to college basketball teams. But we got more news. Another wide receiver got a deal. Christian Watson gets a 4-year, $110.5 million contract from the Packers. So his AAV, $27.5 million, which would have been about $7.5 million more than Nico until Nico got his adjustment. So he gets an extension, $31 million signing bonus. I don't know what the guaranteed money is. So another wide receiver gets paid this week. Drake London got his, Christian Watson got his, and then we have talked about what Nico got. This one comes in under what Nico's going to make this year, but it is a longer-term extension. So we're just looking at the wide receiver market continuing to explode. And Christian Watkins has had some injury issues, so he's not always available, but the Packers take care of him. It's just another benchmark for Nico's people, and by that I mean his agent, to look at and go, when it comes time for an actual extension, I'm better than this guy.
Christian Watson, his career high for receiving in a season is 600 yards, 620. He's got 611 twice, which is weird. That's 611, 422.
That is a bit of an oddity.
He played 15 games. Like, what? Am I missing something? Is this a different guy?
So it's franchise tag money. George Pickens is getting 27.3, and he is nowhere.
This is like
nowhere near as productive as either Nico or George Pickens.
This is more risky than the first Nico Collins. Because Nico Collins had 1,000-yard season.
Yes. Christian Watson can't, can't stay on the field.
2,000 yards
and
for his
simply
career.
Hasn't produced at the level
in
a single season. So they give him money that, when you just look at it on his face, is very surprising. Now, they've lost a couple receivers like Romeo Doubs. They didn't sign. He is now a New England Patriot. I think they still have Jaden Reed on the roster.
Yeah, talk about always hurt, too.
But yeah. So the Packers do a good job of drafting productive receivers. Now we'll see what Matthew Golden is in, what, year two now?
Yeah.
But they have not found a clear number one with all these guys. So they're paying Christian Watson like he is a number one. We'll see if he can ascend to that role. So the Packers pay Christian Watson lots of money. We'll see if he makes good on their belief in him. Okay, let's get to this. You know what time it is, Sean. When we talk World Cup, we got to play the preeminent artist of our time when it comes to World Cup music. So let's go. The great Shakira, who, beyond her prowess as a music artist, has another soccer connection. She once was in a long-term relationship with Barcelona great and Spanish great. I always get them confused. It's not Puyol. That's the other one.
No, it's Piqué.
It's Piqué. I always go back and forth because of how
guy
close.
With the crazy hair.
Yeah, Puyol. I know it's not him, but Spanish and Barcelona, great.
Yeah.
It's Piqué, the other one, as they team together on both national.
The handsome one.
And club. Well, sure, it's Shakira. On the club and international level to great success. So, this is the music, the official song of the World Cup. Sean suggested that when we talk strictly about the U.S., we just play
the Jelly Roll version. Because there's an album.
There is a FIFA World Cup 26 album. Yes.
With Fiorentino on the cover. Not really. Just the picture that announced it had Fiorentino on it.
He would try to get himself on it if he could.
Arms folded.
Yeah, if he could find a way, he would. So we're going to kind of give you a frame of reference. If you're not a big World Cup person or a soccer person in general, but you know it's happening in about a week and you want to, you know, something to watch in the summer at a minimum. So we're going to try to give you a frame of reference for who you might be rooting for. Maybe you don't even know. but we're going to try to inform you. That's what we kind of try to do here. So we're going to give a couple of comps, at least Ryan Hammer is, Ryan Hammer 09 is, who he'll give you a couple of comps for teams, college basketball-wise and club or international soccer team-wise, that are close to our hearts. He has comped U of H to a certain nation, and he's also comped the University of Texas to a certain nation. Here are those two comparisons.
Portland and Houston is a perfect, beautiful pairing. Two elite defensive sides that are liked and respected for that, but they've never had the offensive firepower they've needed to win it all. They've gotten so close, and every single year for Houston and the Netherlands, it literally feels like that's going to be the year every time. The United States and Texas. UT has the most NCAA tournament appearances of any school without winning a national title. The U.S. are always in the field. They get hyped by the media because they're a big brand and they're the U.S., but they never really sniff a trophy. And the state of Texas just feels like what foreigners think of us. Norway and Senegal are...
You heard him. And if you didn't, he comps the University of Houston to the Netherlands. The Netherlands have been a great soccer-playing nation for a while now. They made a final. We've been talking about Spain. They made a final against Spain and lost. So we know that feeling here as far as the Cougs are concerned. And it always feels like the Netherlands could make a run, and they're certainly in position to possibly make one again. And the other benefit is they're playing games in town. So if you want a team to root for,
yeah. No,
are they playing? Yes, I think they're here.
They have one
game. Yeah, so if you a game in town, Portugal and Germany are the other major powers that are going to be in town. So if you want to find a connection, if you believe Ryan Hammer knows anything, there's the Netherlands right there. If you're a Cougs fan and want to find a proper comp for your college basketball team. The other one, as you heard, was the University of Texas versus the U.S. He leaned into big brands. I don't know that the United States is a big soccer brand internationally. Sure, they spend a lot of money.
They're, in theory, a big
in
brand.
In theory. I just don't know that the rest of the world sees them that way, though.
Yeah. That does work for Texas basketball.
Yes, it does.
It's like, where it's like, in theory, they should be way more successful.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a non-U.S. comp for Texas, maybe Portugal?
Yeah.
Because Portugal has won a continental crown. They have won a Euro. And sure, they have big stars rolling through there.
Won the Big 12.
They've been in the playoff. They've been close. Portugal's has been on the outskirts of making a final before. I would actually comp them to Portugal, honestly, if I think about it. He comped Portugal to Purdue.
Portugal.
Some
of these are so funny. There's one. It's the one that we play next. So I have a pause and I'm just staring at it. Senegal and Vanderbilt.
Who's Sadio Mane?
Very funny.
Diego
thing to
say. Actually, we're talking basketball, so I don't know who the comp would be.
It's just very funny to be like Senegal is kind of like Vanderbilt.
Yeah, he called Argentina, Florida, the two most recent. Well, Florida didn't win this most recently, but they have won a title in the last couple years. Of course, Argentina is the defending champion. He did not give Michigan a comp. He said he couldn't find one when asked about it, so he didn't find one. Connecticut is France in this one.
Huh. Okay. Yeah. Maybe.
France is a power. They have won a title in the last, 8 years now? They won in 2018. Of course, UConn under Dan Hurley and before. And France has won the title in 98. So that's a historical country when it comes to world soccer. And Connecticut is more of a new money power in basketball. So if you want to find all the comps, you just go to at Ryan Hammer 09.
Japan and BYU.
Or 09.
Oh, no.
Ryan Hammer 09, yes.
Japan BYU. Some of these are just...
You have to listen to them. I didn't listen to them all. I just wanted to find some stuff that's local.
Yeah. Oh, England and Gonzaga. Huh.
Yeah, two teams who... Or two... A country and a program have been very close. More England as far as Euro titles. They haven't been that close to a World Cup title. Maybe they made a semifinal.
I think they did.
Did they make a semifinal? Croatia got them or something like that? So, I could see that. So if you agree, he called speaking of Croatia, he's got Illinois as Croatia. He's comped those two together.
I mean, that's because they have a bunch of Croatians on their team.
I bet you that's what it is.
Because
they have a lot of Balkans on their team, so I bet you that's why I did. I didn't hear that one. So you can go, as I say, you can go through it and see if you agree or not. Mexico is Tennessee. He comped those two together. Remember, college basketball programs
I know
and their world Cup participant equivalent.
The SEC ones are hard for me to like, oh, wait, he means basketball.
Yeah, you have to really format your brain. Kansas and Spain.
Kansas and Spain. Yeah, yeah. No, that checks out.
Yeah, that does check out.
The Brazil Duke, I don't like that. Duke's not Brazil on the basketball court.
They're not. I would imagine this is about traditional blue bloods.
I would flip, because Germany, he has Germany, UNC, Brazil, Duke.
You would flip
I think
them.
I'd flip those.
As far as how I see them and where my disdain for them goes, I mean, honestly, they're probably...
Bastian Schweinsteiger would play for Duke.
There's probably some non-sports stuff playing into this as well. But, the Germans and Duke, yeah. We're talking about North Carolina, generally speaking, people don't feel the way outside the state of North Carolina. Nationally, we don't have a negative feeling about North Carolina that we do about Duke. And as I said, maybe some of it has to do with non-sports stuff. But Germany and Duke feel like at comps. I don't care what he says. It just feels right. I don't know that North Carolina is Duke, but they are. But they did have Vince Carter.
Yeah.
One of the cooler basketball players ever. And Ronaldo, the Brazilian, can be added there too. A lot of the Brazilians as well. So I would agree. I would swap those. Maybe, I'm sure his reasoning in his mind makes sense, but not for this show. Eric, I see you. You want to talk Rockets? We'll get to you when we come back. So, the U.S. and Texas.
Yeah. Terrible for the U.S.
Yes, unfortunately. Well, when's the last time Texas made it to an Elite Eight? That's what people are pointing to for the U.S.
2023.
So there, oh yeah, Miami ruined it for them. Yeah. Miami and Columbia. So we will see if the U.S.
would lose to Columbia. That is true.
It's true. Yes, even this version of Columbia, they would lose in a big match.
In a knockout round?
If it got there, yes, they would lose. So yeah, it makes some sense. We'll see if it happens. The U.S. begins their World Cup campaign against Paraguay. I don't know that I see where he comp Paraguay to, but either way. So who would
UCF.
Texas would beat UCF in a first round game, right?
Yeah, it'd be tight though. It'd be tight. It'd be the 7-10 matchup.
Yeah, everyone would be nervous going into the final stages of the game or match. All right, that segment is over. We'll get to Eric and anyone else when we come back.
It's the Del Ulalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Ulalea.
If you want to know why Uzbekistan is the Georgia of world soccer, and by the way, Georgia basketball of world soccer, just go to Ryan Hammer 09 to find out. Sean and I were just laughing at all the comps. When you get to like 48 teams, it's got to be tough to really be able to draw lines and connections between the two that you're doing.
Just going like Iran, Iona. It's just like, what? Okay, sure.
Maybe he's just an expert on everything, so he's able to do it. Let's get to Eric. He wants to talk some Rockets. What's up, Eric?
Hey guys, yeah. I like the mustard and ketchup unis, but I think they should bring back the ones for the mid-90s, the pajama ones, the blue and silver and red. I think those need to be updated and bring him back. And also, I heard good things about He-Man, Masters of the Universe. Have you heard anything good about it, Del? And Del, be careful going home in Webster. It's flooding over here. I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Eric, for that.
Wow.
I appreciate that.
News you can use.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Eric. As far as your uniform preference, you would be one of one, I think. I don't know that. I'm sure some hipster types have... And the Rockets have worn a variation of it recently. Like, they had the court, and then they wore a jersey that wasn't a complete replication of those uniforms, but something that honored them. I think as a one-off, just remember, if you go 90s night and have the Hornets were in town, whose uniforms are very similar to their 90s versions, okay. As a night where it's like, that era wasn't completely awful. It wasn't great. Like, Gal wore those uniforms, too. Charles Barkley wore those uniforms. We were talking about the Jazz and illegal screens being set. They were in those uniforms, the Rockets were, when they lost that series. Not a great moment, but they were in the Western Conference Finals. So, There is a way, and they try to honor those uniforms. I just don't think they're at the top of the list for uniforms to make more permanent, or at least more customary for the Rockets.
With the fact that they basically have to do a new city jersey basically every year, or if not like every other year, because you can tweak it to where it's like, well, now this is the white version of this uniform. Now this is the blue version of this uniform, and keep doing it like that. But
you mean what the Heat did with their Vice jersey?
Yeah. When you get a winner, like teams are like, oh, we don't really want to change it. We don't want to change it after 1 year. Like the Valley Suns uniforms, where they're like, can we just make this teal now instead or something? Yeah. I think that the pajama uniforms kind of work in that space of like, give it a run for like 1 year as the third uniform, and we can cycle in something.
They did it in 22-23, where they pay tribute to the pajama uniforms, and that's what the stripes in these new uniforms are paying tribute to. So you get a little bit of that, Eric.
Get a little taste.
If you want to remember what you might have considered the good times, the late 90s into the early 2000s. How long do they keep those jerseys? Was it like 6 or 7 years or something like that?
Yeah, it was basically, what, 95, 96 to like 2003, 2004 range?
When they brought in the bleeding R logo.
Yeah, because I always think of those as like the Yao jerseys.
Yeah.
And the pajama ones are just kind of like the weird in-between time with like Mobley and Francis, but yeah.
Yeah, and as I said, Yao happened to have to don those jerseys at one point as well.
Yeah.
But to your point, when you think of those jerseys, you don't even think really of the last years of Hakeem. You think of
like 2000.
You think of Hakeem. Yeah. You think of Steve and Coutinho and Kelvin Cato and others.
Kelvin Cato.
Yeah.
Wow. Shout out.
What else did he say? Matt, I have seen that people like Masters of the Universe. We did talk about it earlier in the week. And Sean and I are still on the kind of get this thing the F out of my face. I need more.
I'm skeptical.
I need more people telling me this is pretty good before I watch it. You've got, as I said, big fan of Cammy Mendez. You've got Idris Elba. And then I don't even really know who He-Man is. Like, I've seen him in things.
Yeah. He was in Sheep Detective.
Yes. Nicholas
Galstein.
Something like that. Yeah. You've got Jared Leto playing Skeletor. Have not seen him promoting it at all, which I think is good for the movie that he's nowhere near promoting it. Hey, no one ever sees your face, so why do you need to show your face in the promo stuff? So, you know what? I will wait, but it is getting better reviews than I would have imagined. But it's still a CGI slop fest, and it's He-Man.
Yeah.
We'll see.
See on Paramount Plus or whatever.
wherever you land. What if it gets the obsession treatment where they think it's going to be on digital in like 2 weeks and then they expand it to 45 days because of how great because
how
much people love He-Man. I can't.
That'd be something. That'd be something, Del.
I think we talked about it. I don't remember caring about He-Man as a kid. Like, it wasn't in like a prominent spot to watch as a cartoon as a kid. It came on in the mornings on school days. Like, if I got up early enough and I turned on the television, He-Man might be on, but it wasn't on, like, for some people, as I have a birthday here, for some people, you got home from school, and cartoons were on regular-ass TV.
Yeah.
Not just Cartoon Network. It wasn't even in that time slot, and it certainly wasn't on Saturday mornings.
I had no connection to this whatsoever.
I remember it.
I've only heard of it.
I remember it faintly.
Yeah.
And then I did see, like, because what's his name? Luke from Star Wars. What's his real name?
Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill. He does voices for everything. Mm-hmm. So I think he did the voice of Skeletor in a more recent cartoon that was on Netflix. Mm-hmm. So I did see some of that. But
passed the baton to
Jared Leto. Yeah, but as far as I'm sure they had a little meeting of the minds. But as far as a kid, the nostalgia, nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing for He-Man.
And that's where it's like hard to get me to a movie theater to like, hey, this nostalgia bait that I'm not nostalgic for in any way. Yeah.
Yeah, probably, I don't know.
I'm good.
I don't know when Nicholas, whatever his last name is, says, I have the power. It's going to hit me in a way.
Yeah.
That's the power of Grayskull. I do remember the power of Grayskull, Michael.
Michael Carroll has been giving me the hard sell.
On He-Man?
On He-Man for some reason.
Has he seen it?
You got to go watch it.
Now,
that doesn't say you've seen it. He's never seen it. He's just trying to get me into the theater.
Yeah, I just.
Did they pay you?
Yeah, Mattel.
Yeah, did Mattel get to you,
Mattel
Michael?
Money?
No, didn't get to you, but he... Now, all these names you say mean nothing to me. Fisto,
exactly.
Don't know who that is. I just know... I know He-Man... Man-at-Arms. Is that Idris Elba's role? Apparently, that's Idris Elba's role. I know He-Man... Was it She-Ra? Is that her name? No. I know Skeletor.
I can't...
She-Ra. Yeah, that's her name. That's Cammy Mendez's role, I think. Tila. There it is. Sorry.
This is great radio.
I know a lot of dumb stuff. I just got nothing on He-Man, man.
Yeah, it's just they don't love you like you're Kobe, you know? In the words of Draymond Green.
Sorry. They don't love you. I'm trying to think of what... they don't love you like Optimus.
Yeah, no, they're not Power Rangers. They're not Transformers.
I know more about Rita Repulsa and Zordon than I know about anything in He-Man.
Them's the breaks. Sorry.
I still remember when I saw the first episode of Power Rangers because it has a college football tie-in. I was in New Jersey visiting family, and it was Kansas versus Florida State back when they played games at the Meadowlands. Is before your even I think before your time, Sean, back in the early 90s. And it Power Rangers debuted that day, and I just wanted it to get out of the way so I could watch college football even at that age. Because it was the start of the season.
Yeah.
I remember it. Nothing about He-Man other than it came on like 6 a.m. on a Tuesday.
And the haircut. I know the haircut.
Yeah, I know the haircut. But in this one, it's a stupid haircut, but a more modern one. He doesn't have that little...
like the
even the actor's
mob.
Like, look, it's a wig, but I'm not wearing that. It's unrealistic that I got to wear that hair.
I got to have a career after this.
Come on. I got things I want to do. Thank you for the call, Eric. And he mentioned something else I forgot. We just got stuck on here.
Oh, the Webster.
Oh, yeah.
Flooding.
If
you're listening and you live in the Webster.
Or you're going that way for work or whatever, be careful. It's flooding.
This is a great pivot for us to just give like weather and traffic updates.
You want to make...
just
Thursday traffic?
The show.
You want to just do Thursday traffic for the last 20 minutes of the show? All right. We got some time left. If you want to join us, bring up another movie that is trying to nostalgia you into watching it that you don't really care about. If something fits the profile, let us know. 713-780-3776. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back inside the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mates.
So, a couple of things, at least one thing that came out of the Astros game last night. End of a streak. Our Santa, however you want to say his name, he ended a streak of, and it was a franchise record, of 18 consecutive batters to start a career in a row. He retired 18 consecutive batters. That ended yesterday. So, he, of the name that reminds you of a holiday, came out there, and of course we know his debut was part of the no-hitter. So he was a main contributor to one of the bigger moments of the season so far.
It was a gift, some would say.
Well played. He continued giving out the gifts until ended last night, thanks to the Pirates.
18 straight batters.
Yeah, thanks to the Pirates, who, as I said earlier, have been beaten up on Astros pitching all series. It's been two games, but they've had their way with Astros pitching. Thankfully, the Astros had that comeback yesterday. So it's been a nice start to his Astros career. And Joe Espada talked about it, said he's throwing the ball really well. And they're going to, not that they're just going to, but they got to give him more opportunities. And we'll see if that comes at the expense of one Brian Abreu, who has been poor. He had the month of May where he got it together. But back to the Brian Abreu we've been used to all year long. When he went out there on Tuesday night. So Astros with Tang on the mound tonight, try to win the series against the Pirates, try to make this home stand feel a little bit better, because before Nick Allen got on, when there was two outs in the bottom of the eighth, it looked like we were in for another lost home stand. But we'll see if they can win this series against the Pirates with Tang on the mound, who's pitched pretty well over his last couple starts. I did want to ask you this question, Sean. During the finals last night, there was a crowd shot, and we had talked about all the Knicks fans we saw, whether it be randoms who had a Brunson jersey on or actual recognizable faces like Tracy Morgan, among others. You said you saw Chalamet. I didn't see that one or see him. There's another player or another person who's not a Knicks fan that I saw in a crowd shot, and it was the more random experiences of these playoffs. Seeing Steven Adams at a Thunder game makes sense. Seeing Dylan Brooks, what was he at, a Lakers game?
Where was he? Hating
on LeBron, or maybe the Rockets. Was it LeBron? It was the Thunder Lakers, right?
Yeah, it was Thunder Lakers.
So he's hating on LeBron.
I was watching him get swept.
Yeah, hating on LeBron, I get. And you know, the connection with Shea with the underdog operation game makes sense why he's there. Why I noticed that was Derek Queen in the crowd, I can't say unless I just say I'm a sicko who just knows, watches basketball, and okay, that's Derek Queen. Like, he just looks like any other person, like young, you know, because he's on TV, you don't get the dimensions that he's tall.
Yeah.
But he's standing up and they're just doing a crowd shot. They don't stop at Derek Queen. It's just like the shot that's going from the floor up into the stands. They don't pause at Derek Queen, but then I go, I pull the Leo.
Yeah.
That's Derek Queen. And I want to ask you this. Can you think of the most random player you could recognize out of context? Like, I mean like on television, because if you see a 6'8" guy, it might jog your memory that's a basketball player. But can you think of one guy you know that you could just recognize? Because Derek Queen feels very random. Like, he's a rookie, so he was in my mind a little bit. Yeah. So all the conversations about him. Yeah, he was in the tournament, and then people questioned why the Pelicans would trade away a future first rounder for him, all those things. But it's still a guy I don't think I should recognize like that. But as soon as I saw, that's Queen. Is there a guy like that for you where you're like, I shouldn't know this face, I shouldn't know this player, but I do?
So it's happening to me a lot now that players that I watch play are becoming like assistant coaches and stuff.
Yeah.
So that will happen a lot where I'm like, hey, that's Jared Jack.
It's true. Like, it's true.
And Jared Jack has a face that like,
yeah,
that's
the bald head. He's been bald since eternity, it feels like. Yeah.
Yeah. So like things like that, maybe. It's more like, well, I guess older skewing of just like, hey, that's so-and-so. I remember that guy. You know, when Caron Butler started popping up on Heat benches. Chris Quinn, another one.
Speaking of that.
Chris Quinn, there's no reason I should know who Chris Quinn is, other than he's just kind of been on TV in a weird way for 20 years.
A lead assistant for the Miami Heat for a long time now. And speaking of that, because it's
Fizdale, another one back in the day.
Hey,
that's Fizdale.
Yeah, it's true. A lot of Heat assistants.
Distinctive face.
Either got jobs. And I think he got one with the Grizzlies, and then now are on TV in some way. At least he is. Speaking of that, because they were showing, like normally the finals with their promo stuff, they'll revert to finals pass of these big highlights.
Oh, yeah.
And in 2006, the Heat beat the Mavericks, and the final sequence is, I think Dwayne Wade missed a couple free throws that would have sealed it. Jameson Terry comes down to shoot a three that would have sent potentially to game seven. It was game six, and he misses it. Dwayne Wade grabs a rebound and chucks the ball up in the air. That's the iconic shot for the Heat's first title. I did not notice this at the time, because why would I? I knew Bob McAdoo was one of their assistants. What I did not know was that Bob McAdoo was still charting stats at the time Dwayne Wade is throwing the ball up in the air.
Writing down.
Everyone is primed to celebrate. He's got a clipboard in hand. I guess he had to get one more Jason Terry miss and Dwayne Wade rebound into the history books. And then celebrate. Look, that guy won titles with, I believe, the Lakers when he was a player. He had been a long time NBA assistant. But even in that moment, he's like, Jason Terry just missed a three. Dwayne Wade got the rebound. Still got a job, dude. Job's not done. So if you happen, not that anyone really needs to go back to 06, if you happen to see that pop up at any point, just look to the right in the corner, top of the screen. You're going to see a man in a very 2006 era suit.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Nice.
Not reacting to a championship being won. Yeah. It is.
It's like the Dusty Baker video from 2022. It's the same thing where he's like riding down, you know, fly out to right or whatever. In the last thing, as like assistant coaches are grabbing him and like shaking him and stuff. So, yeah, that is funny that like it is someone's job to, at the very end, like one more rebound for Dwayne Wade there.
Yeah, and he's not a statistician.
No, like,
I don't know that.
No, he just has
I don't know that Pat Riley's gonna need that the next season when he looks back on how the season played out. But Bob McAdoo doing his job.
Wade, how good was he really?
Well, he did miss those two free throws to put them in a spot where Jason Terry could have made a three to win the game. All right, we'll go to break, and I mentioned very early in the show I wanted to give you some more Spencer Arrighetti sound because, and we'll get to that when we come back, because his manager and the best player on the team talked about wanting to pick him up because of what he had been, his importance to the team up until last night, and he didn't have his greatest outing. The team picked him up, and it was on their mind. So we'll hear from Spencer Arrighetti once that information was relayed to him. We'll do that when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Let's hear from Spencer again. We played some sound from him earlier. He talked about not having his... what he talked about was his performance being ass. And then he kind of detailed how it got to the point where... He hit a guy, walked a guy. The grand slam came, changed the complexion of the game. He was up 2-0, going pretty great until it wasn't. But his team picked him up after falling down, I believe, at most. Were they down 9-4, got to 9-5, and then it was 8-5, got to 9-5, and then they had the big 6-run eighth inning to win it. And then Josh Hader came in. He's back, came in and closed it. So... Joe Espada talked about wanting to pick up Spencer. Yordan talked about it. Here's Spencer Arrighetti after being told about his teammates and his manager really wanting to get him out of there with the no decision.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I came out of that game feeling like I had let everybody down in a pretty big way. Obviously, the fourth inning got away from me. I felt really good up until that point about the outing. And, those guys to do it the way that they did it, it's just, I mean... That's baseball. It's so much fun to watch. It's really tough to not be romantic about it. That's the word everybody always uses. But no, it was, I mean, obviously I appreciate Joe saying that about the games leading up to today and for them to come through for me in such a huge way today. It's just like, it's humbling, you know? I mean, this game will do that to you pretty quickly. And I'm just incredibly grateful to everybody in the lineup tonight for just never giving up on the game regardless of what happened.
Do you feel romantic about baseball, Sean? There are times when baseball makes you feel romantic.
I wouldn't say romantic. I think it's the line from Field of Dreams, right? It's the line from a movie.
Does everyone say it, though? Or is he just pulling it?
People will say, how can you not be romantic about baseball?
But it's only because of
the movie.
They're quoting the movie.
I think sentimental is probably the word that works better.
Possibly.
Like
I think so.
How most people use it, they don't actually mean romantic. They mean sentimental.
I guess in Moneyball, Billy Bean said it too.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's
where it comes from.
Or maybe it's just a quote that gets, you know, it's a Yogi Berra quote
sure.
or something.
And now everyone has
yeah,
a reason
but,
to say it.
Yeah, romantic, I wouldn't say romantic. I'm not lighting a candle every time the Astros come on.
I would agree. I don't know that I get that feeling. When you now, it's got to be a very nice feeling to know that your team wants to do that for you.
Yeah. And maybe if you play, you know, it's different. Maybe being, you know, in a clubhouse all summer.
Yeah.
Just the guys. That's what you miss most when you retire, you know. That's
I've been told that. It's not going out there and competing.
No, it's
for some. Well, if you're
out.
Tom Brady because you're a sicko, it's competing less about the guys you're doing it with. But for a lot of people, it's like the camaraderie, I hear. The camaraderie of hanging out with the boys in between the competition. That's what you're going to miss.
I wouldn't say, again, that's camaraderie. It's not romance.
Hey.
I mean, maybe it is. I don't know. But
You could be romantic about your boys, but it could be just baseball romance.
I guess. Yeah. I just don't think romance is the right word.
Yeah, I don't believe so either. It has just been chosen as the word that we have to use now.
Yeah,
I think sentimental or nostalgic even when it comes to the history of baseball.
Yeah, yeah. But I guess in the moment you can be sentimental. You know, like when your favorite team wins a World Series or whatever, like, yeah, you take, you know, it sinks in. But, like, for the most part, I'm not like, oh, yeah.
Are you
baseball.
Are you not turning on Space City Home Network and dropping rose petals?
Yeah. Throwing on some Kenny G.
To get yourself ready to watch your team go out there and compete against the Pirates tonight. But either, no matter what word is the appropriate one, the boys came through for their guy. And it's something they felt that was important, and they did it.
Yeah.
He walks out of there with a no decision. As,
and a bubble bath. And
I mean, a soap. What is it, a bath bomb?
Yeah,
something like that. Is that, was that the equivalent of a bath bomb last night, what they did to come back and put up six in the bottom of the eighth? All started by Nick Allen. Nick Allen had to go to the Target and buy it, and then everyone else did their part as well. All right. Oddly enough, we took a very sentimental moment and turned it into something stupid. That's a surprise for this show.
You asked me if I feel romantic, and I would say romantic.
I got the answer I was looking for, I think. Spencer Arrighetti.
I feel something. I wouldn't say it's romance.
Yeah. I wouldn't have got there either. But it was fun, although I didn't see it live. Because
it looked
because romance was dead at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they brought it back. Thank you. In fact, what they did was more chivalry than anything else. We're done for the day. Since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
That peanut butter skin.
I don't know. I don't know the context here. Honestly.
Feeling romantic.
I don't think Whitlock's feelings at that time were romantic. It was anything but when he said that. Okay, we're done. Eisen's up next, followed by Jeremy and Joe. Actually, no Joe. Joe's out. He'll be out till next week.
No, Joe's here today.
Oh, this is last day.
Yeah, this is last.
Okay, Jeremy and Joe.
Inside the icebox, recording.
Got it.
Recording today. That's
Jeremy and Joe for one, not last time, but at least one time, one final time until Joe goes on vacation and comes back. All right, we're done. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.